you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's there.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. Looking closely at the calendar, 29 days and counting. We reached that 30-day threshold yesterday, Jason, but I think it was probably a record day for people signing up, registering online, or calling in, because my phone, every time somebody registers, I kind of get an email, so it either tings or it flashes, and I'm like, oh, great, another couple signed up, or an individual. And I was just telling you moments ago, I'm really encouraged because many, many people are signing up just like with one. And so I'm very blessed by that, because they're feeling empowered or feel like they'll be a part of the family, even if they're coming alone. I mean, there's obviously a number of couples and parents that have two or three children that are coming along, but many, many ones, which represent a lot of different households. And so it's just exciting. I think we're right around or over 500 registered and signed up. And so it's coming together. And even last night, Sam's Club just came out with a brand new, I don't know if you'd call it a sports drink. It kind of competes with Gatorade, I think. It's a brand new item on the market, and they gave me 520, I don't know, it was like 14 cases of 40. And so we'll have those for our 500 gift boxes, along with, I filled up one of these big Sam's Club carts with cups, spoons, napkins, tablecloths, plates, and I even threw in a box of garbage bags, and they covered all that. They just kind of wrote it all up and said, it's our gift to the community and for your event. And then I pulled out my microphone, and the manager, Mark, said, hey, record a little radio greeting, and we'll put that on the air. So appreciate Sam's Club coming through, along with 500 one-day passes to Sam's Club. And some of our listeners may be familiar with this, or somebody handed them one of these passes years ago or recently. Well, typically, there's like a surcharge or an upcharge, I think is what they call it, that if you don't become a Sam's Club member that day, they tack on 10% to your bill. And so some people get really upset. It's like, oh, gosh, that's not fair. I mean, even though there's discounted prices and such, they didn't know about this 10% upcharge, even though it's on the little card. Well, to simplify and make it a real blessing for the listeners, there's no upcharge. So these 500 gift boxes will get a free visit in there, and you'll get the same prices as a member for that day. And so I got a big stack of those that'll be assembled on the 6th as we prepare them for the 7th. So, yeah, thank you, God, for Sam's Club. And you and I, you know, we know how to hold our own talking groceries with, like, store managers. And so we talk shop about inventory and shrink and, you know, all the different facets. And so it was kind of neat, and enjoyed picking that up. I had to load up the truck. You know, that was a lot of merchandise to put into the back of a pickup. So. All in the garage right now, waiting for big assembly day on April 6th. And so we'll have a call out for volunteers in a couple weeks, but it'll probably be somewhere around noon on April 6th as we prepare the 500 gift boxes and do some of the setup for our April big event. But yeah, the studio here and the garage is starting to load up fast. Hey, speaking of, I can't say loading up fast, but loading up friendships, John has something to say about that, doesn't he? that doesn't make the coffee table edition of transitions.
I don't think so.
That was a stretch.
Yeah, I've been reading, you know, John chapter 15, and in John chapter 15, Jesus is addressing his disciples in the upper room, and he talks to them, and he begins to talk to them about friendship, as particularly in John chapter 15 and verse 12 through 17. And it's interesting that Jesus would use the word friendship or friend. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus uses the word friend, and it's interesting because it's not friend as we would interpret friend. In fact, the Greek word there, it means friend of the court or friend of the king's court, kind of part of the inner circle of a king, the friend of a king. It would be somebody who is close to the king, who knew his secrets, but who is also subject to obey the king's commands. This is interesting because this word means that you are privy to knowledge that the king has, but at the same time, it doesn't get you out of being obedient to the king. And probably one of our great pictures in the Bible of that is Abraham. Abraham, it says, was a friend of God, but he was also a servant of God. He obeyed God and he listened. I love Genesis 12 where it says, and Abraham went. God called him and Abraham went. He listened and was obedient to God. And a great picture of this comes in Genesis chapter 18. You know, the Lord and two angels come to visit Abraham, and they're on their way to investigate the sin at Sodom. And Genesis 18:3 says, O Lord, if I found favor in your sight, do not pass by what? Your servant, since you have come to your servant. And this is interesting because Abraham is about 100 years old here, and he's greeted by these visitors. And the first thing that Abraham does is he sees to their comfort and he serves them what would be considered a choice meal. In fact, that I've said before often that I laugh and kind of marvel at this passage because it says that Abraham went quickly and he ran. He's 100 years old and he's running to serve these guests. And at the same time, he's also encouraging others to work quickly. And if you read the passage, you'll note that Abraham at no time sits down and eats the meal with them. Instead, he stands nearby, ready and waiting to serve them. But in the latter half of chapter 18, beginning of verse 17, the Lord says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? So in the beginning of the passage in chapter 18, Abraham is serving these people. He's a servant. But in the latter half of 18, God says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And the answer is no. It's a question, but the answer is no. And so here we see that Abraham is a friend of God. He's privy to knowledge from God. And as a friend of God, he shares intimately with the thoughts of God. I love how James chapter 2 and verse 23 says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You know, and many of us, people listening today, they have friendships. They have all kinds of different friendships. And maybe there are those who have very deep and long-lasting friendships, who have good friends, people who you know you can call upon when things are difficult and when you can who you can celebrate when good news comes on. But then there's some of us who maybe struggle to have good friendships, struggle to have deep kinds of friendships. And I think that that's even more exacerbated in this kind of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, social media world, where we can have 700 friends, you know, but they're only an inch deep. And really, we only see them comment or they post a picture, but we don't really share intimately and deeply in life. And so Jesus in John chapter 15 is going to talk to us about friendship because friendship matters. We are made to be known, first and foremost by God, but then by others, and to be encouraged by others. God sends people into our life to encourage and to love us. You know, it reminds me, when I preached this message last Sunday, I told kind of a funny story, and it said two men were out hunting in northern Canada when suddenly one of the men let out a yell as the other looked up to see a large grizzly bear charging them. The first man got down and started frantically pulling out and putting on his tennis shoes. His friend looked alarmed and anxiously asked him, "What are you doing? Don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly bear?" And the friend looked up and he replied, "I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you."
Yeah.
and I think that story shows us that friendships aren't easy. Friendships are not easy. And Jesus, of all people, knew that friendships were not easy. Psalm 41 and verse 9 says, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who I ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. And this was said about Judas, and Judas lived up to it. Peter, James, and John, when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, they fell asleep. When Jesus asked them if they could stay awake, he called them to stay awake. In fact, when he comes in Mark chapter 14 and verse 37, he says, could you not watch 1 hour? And then you have Peter, who Jesus says, truly I tell you, this very night when the rooster crows, you'll deny me 3 times. And yes, Peter did deny Jesus Christ 3 times. And I do think on a very kind of heart level, that had to have hurt. And so even devoted friends that we have at times will fail us. But one of the things that I think that we need to understand, we need to hold tight to, is that Jesus Christ, who is perfect, will never fail us. And so when we're called a friend of God, when Jesus calls us a friend, that is an absolutely perfect friendship that transcends the friendships that we know and have. And we have great and deep and powerful friendships in our lives right now, and none of those friendships, even on their best day, are the same as the perfect friendship that we receive from the King, where we are privy to knowledge that the King has, but at the same time, we're called to obedience. And that obedience produces joy because we love serving the King, and we love coming near to him and him sharing. We love talking to him in prayer and supplication. We love reading his word and hearing what it is that he speaks to us. And Jesus calls us friend. And I think that Jesus knew, as he was speaking to his disciples in John chapter 15, that relationships were the most valuable asset that we were going to have. First and foremost, again, our relationship to God. But I think Jesus also knew at times relationships were going to be very difficult. And this is why in John chapter 15, he calls us to abide in his power, but then also follow his pattern of friendship. Hmm. And so this movement in John chapter 15, in verses 12 through 17, Jesus gives us 3 points to show us what friendship should be like. And friendship, good relationships and friendship should have sacrifice, a mutual heart, and encouragement. And so we'll start with sacrifice.
And a quick question, just back to that example that you gave with Abraham, and should that be like an application point? A healthy relationship should have a component of like serving each other? Or are you going to address that in the sacrificial heart, like the mutual heart or mutual encouragement, that aspect of just serving?
I think that it falls under the sacrifice part, Mark, because sacrifice is essential to true friendship and true loving. When Jesus says, this is my commandment. So if you look at John chapter 12, it begins with a command. And if you look at 17, it ends with a command. So Jesus kind of bookends this section of scripture with a command. This is what I'm telling you, you must do. This is what is going to be essential for you to do. And one of the first points that he shows us is sacrifice, because we're called to serve. When we're called to love one another, that is us serving one another. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has none than this, that someone who lays down his life for his friend. And this is a restatement of John chapter 13 and 34, which says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So Jesus is calling them to action. He's saying you need to lay down your life and you need to love one another. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, we would say, well, how is that possible? How do you command love? Can true love even be commanded? And many of us would say, no, it can't be. You can't command love. I mean, imagine how short our courtships or our dating relationships would be if you could command love. You could see a beautiful woman or a very attractive and handsome man and say, I command you to love me. Mm-hmm. Boom. I mean, you wouldn't have to take them to dinner, never go to a movie. It would just happen. But that's not how it works. And so I think we must realize, or at least we must admit, that what we know about love has been romanticized and sentimentalized by movies, by media, magazines. We have taken love, as the Bible shows us, and have it kind of be emptied of its true meaning. Because the love that Jesus is commanding his disciples here in John chapter 15 is agape love, which begins with the mind and the will. True love is an action. Without an action, you don't have any proof of the love. And so Jesus is saying here, the action is to lay your life down for one another, which for many of us, we say, what does that mean? I have to die? No, that means that you lay aside your preferences. You lay aside your desires. You lay aside what you believe you must have so that you can better serve someone else, which means that, you know what, I don't like cleaning the kitchen, but sometimes I need to lay that aside and serve my wife and clean the kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know what, there's some things I don't like to do, but, you know, I need to lay that aside and say, how can I best serve my friend? And sometimes I think in those real kind of relationship moments, those Jesus-like relationship moments, we're going to step out of some territory where we're not comfortable because it's not what we want. Mm-hmm. But it's exactly what the other person needs. I love 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 when it says this, by this we know love. By this. Here it is. Here's the secret. By this we know love, that he, being Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. This is action. Jesus Christ laid his life down. Just think of Philippians chapter 2. He emptied himself of what it meant to be God and took on the likeness of human flesh. He laid aside his life. He laid aside who he was so that he could come down and he could love us and touch us and change us in the midst of all that he would do battle against sin and death to free us from that. And so Jesus laid aside his life. And it's so funny when you think about just the magnitude of what Jesus sacrificed on behalf of us. And then we go, but, you know, I really don't want to go and talk to that person. I really don't want to do that. I don't want to go and pick that thing up for him because, you know, that's just out of my way and it's real frustrating. And gosh, it just irritates me. No, we have to lay our life aside, lay our life down, which means I say, you know what, that person, it's Philippians chapter 2, by the way, which says that we consider others above ourselves. We lay down our own preferences, the things that we think we need and the things we think that we like to do, or even just our desires, and say, how can I serve someone else? Because that's what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. And not only did Jesus do that for his friends, but what I'm blown away by, Mark, is that he did it for his enemies. Because in Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, while we were still enemies, God sent Christ. While we were still enemies, God wanted to love us and sacrifice on our behalf. And that's just amazing to me that God would do that.
Yeah, we can't really even get our minds around that.
No, you really can't. And so then you go into John chapter 15 and verses 14 and 15. It says, you are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Now, primarily in this passage, we're talking about obedience, but I think we're also talking about a mutual heart, the mutuality of our hearts. Jesus' disciples, his friends, obey him because they value the same things that Jesus values. They hold tight to the same things that Jesus holds tight to. And so I think that close friends agree on a heart level. I mean, I think about Christian friends. Christian friends agree that Jesus Christ is Lord. They agree that prayer is powerful. They agree that God's word is central to our life and that it will speak to us. Christian friends agree that we need to love one another and lay our lives down for one another and sacrifice for one another. That doesn't mean that we agree on everything, but we agree on the major things, on a very kind of heart level. You know, and I love how if you use the Apostle Paul as the example, in Philippians chapter 2, 19 and 20, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send you Timothy so that I may be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him. He will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, this is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ that I teach them everywhere and in every church. And if you were to survey all the translations where Timothy is described by Paul, you always run across the words beloved, dearly loved, dependable, kindred spirit. Mm. You know, literally meaning kind of one soul. You know, there was that 60s term, soul brothers. Well, here, you know, that's not a 60s term. That term is 2,000 years old because Paul called Timothy a soul brother. They had one heart and one mind. You know, I love C.S. Lewis's quote from The Four Loves where he says, friendship is born at that moment when one man says to another, wait, what, you? You too? You know, it's that kind of heart-level moment where you go, do you believe that also? And in that moment, this kind of friendship is born. And that's the kind of friendship that Paul and Timothy had. And then finally, the third point of friendship is Jesus-like friendships. The pattern of that is mutual encouragement. I think that we need to be an encouragement in our friendships. Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 16, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Jesus' absolute desire is to help his friends, his disciples succeed. He says, I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Jesus was committed to being a great encouragement to these men fulfilling their calling. Friends, true friends, rejoice in each other's successes. They don't compete. They rejoice in each other's successes. You know, I think about David and Jonathan. Mm. Many would say that kind of the turning point in David's life would be his victory over Goliath. But I actually think it comes right after that, Mark, where it says in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1 and 2, it says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, he was brought to Saul after he killed Goliath, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. And so there was this kind of deep and abiding friendship that was formed between David and between Jonathan. And then the passage goes on to say something marvelous. It says, and Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was his and gave it to David and gave David his armor, his sword, his bow, and his belt. Now, we have to understand when we read this, Jonathan is Saul's son. He's his eldest son, which means that he is next in line for the throne of Israel. And here, Jonathan advocates that as a great encouragement to David, to say to David, I know the man that God has called you to be, and I want to help you fulfill that. Jonathan lays his life aside so that David can fulfill his calling in God. See, I think great friendships, Mark, they're built upon people who say, I want you to be all that God has called you to be. And we do that by sacrificing. We lay our life aside. We do that with a mutual heart that says, I value what you value. And then great encouragement, which says, I want you more than anything to be who God has called you to be. And then as friends, we commit ourselves to that purpose. And I think that in that moment, we begin to love each other like God loves us. We begin to be friends like God calls us to be friends. We share intimate knowledge with one another, but we also serve one another. And I think what we have to do is we have to get over this idea that we're only going to get friends that are just like us. You know, it reminds me of the fairy tale of the frog prince. You know, once upon a time there was a frog, except he was really not a frog. He was a prince, and he only looked and felt like a frog, and this wicked witch had cast a spell on him, and only the kiss of a beautiful maiden could save him. But, I mean, let's be serious, friends. In this world, cute girls never kiss frogs. Mm-hmm. And so there the frog prince sat, and he was unkissable, unkissed, prince in a frog's body. But listen, friends, miracles do happen. And one day a beautiful maiden gave him a great big kiss, and suddenly he was what he had always been on the inside, a prince again. And see, I think that that's the task of us as Christians. We kiss frogs. We kiss undesirable people. We kiss people that we wouldn't pick necessarily. And we encourage them and we sacrifice on their behalf and we pull them along and say, we want you to be who God has called you to be. And in that, we build lasting, not human kind of friendships, but lasting Jesus-like friendships, because we follow Jesus' pattern of sacrifice, of mutual heart, and of mutual encouragement.
There it is, everyone, right in John chapter 15, three patterns of Jesus-like friendship through the sacrificial heart, through a mutual heart, and through mutual encouragement. And Jason, I'll close out because it parallels so well with something I shared yesterday that I got at that pastor forum workshop where they were talking about ministry. Ministry is being used by God to influence people, to move them from where they are to where God wants them to be. And it's almost like friendship. Friendship is being used of God to influence your friend to move from where they are to where God wants them to be. You almost said that in different words.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Let's be honest. Hopefully the guy at the pastor forum and I, we're using the same source, which is the Bible and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so really, as Christians, we're probably all should be saying the same things. You know, we'll be using different ways because God's gifted us uniquely, but we should all be saying the same things because, again, we share that mutual heart with God.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's various scriptures where God calls us his friend. Jesus says we are his friends. And I thought that when you were dividing some of God's word, that point where Jesus prays for us that we would be one with the Father. Mm-hmm. I mean, that we would be one. It's just an incredible prayer that he says on behalf of us that follow him.
Yeah.
Wow. Good word. Good words. And I should mention to our listeners, I've called you up at home. Hopefully that alternator is going to be showing up to your house or Tasha is going to be driving out, picking it up, and that'll get repaired. And we'll have you in the studio Friday when we jump back into the book of Acts, Lord willing.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Jason, for being available for today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Have a great one.
Thanks to everybody.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. And don't forget, if you're going to join us on April 7th for our 20th anniversary celebration, log on to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and register your intentions of joining us. And the first 500 households that do register online will receive a gift box with now, I think we have 32-33 different items that you're going to really be blessed by and enjoy, from coupons to chocolate to sports drinks to bird seed. It's going to be loaded with all sorts of fun little things, letter openers and pens and other items. So stop by greatnewsradio.org and register. And if you don't have internet or a computer, you can always do the old-fashioned way by calling the station at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. And Karen will take down your information and we'll get you all registered. Again, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.